All right, hi. Happy New Year. How are you guys? It's good to see you. Today is the first business day of the new year, right? So maybe we've been kind of down meaning laid back, relaxed, and now today we kind of start going again, right? So it's good to see y'all. As Don mentioned, we're here for Enlightened Leadership with the Tao Te Ching. And today we are going to look at verse 6, right? Yeah, we looked at verse 5 last week. But first, I'm going to play a song. My inspiration for the song is coming from one friend who has told me a few times recently that, she has this thought in her mind that she can't do this, meaning, awaken, let go of ego, etc. Also, recently, Michael Langford posted a new video, which is actually just an audio with slides. But in this new video, his message is, you can do this, let go of any thought that says you can't. So those two things together are the inspiration for this song that I am about to share.
There at the table with my head in my hands, a column of numbers I just did not understand. You said, add these together, carry the two. Now you can do this hard thing. You can do this hard thing. It's not easy, I know, but I believe that it's so. You can do this hard thing. At a cold winter station, breathing into our gloves, it would change me forever. Leaving for God knows what. You carried my bags. You said I'll wait for you. You can do this hard thing. You can do this hard thing. It's not easy, I know, but I believe that it's so. You can do this hard. And you answered the phone. The worst it had happened, and I did not want to be alone. You quietly listened. You said, we'll see this through. You can do this hard thing. You can do this hard. So you can do this hard thing. Here we stand, breathless and pressed in hard times. Hearts hung like a laundry on backyard clotheslines. Impossible just takes a little more time. From the muddy ground comes a green volunteer. In a place we thought barren, new life appears. Some comforting tune for you. You can do this hard thing. You can do this hard thing. It's not easy, I know, but I believe that it's so. You can do this hard
day. Yeah. So, you know, whenever that thought comes into the mind that we can't do this, let's just remember, you can do this hard thing. You've done lots of hard things, including learning math, learning to read, putting our pets down, saying goodbye to our parents, sometimes saying goodbye to our children. We've done lots of hard things, and we can do this hard thing too, let go of the ego, right? It's just not true. We can do anything that we're asked to do. So you can do this hard thing. Tao Te Ching, verse 6, starting with the Derek Lynn translation. The valley spirit, undying, is called the mystic female. The gateway of the mystic female is called the root of heaven and earth. It flows continuously, barely perceptible. When utilized, it is never exhausted. Again, the valley spirit, undying, is called the mystic female. The gateway of the mystic female is called the root of heaven and earth. It flows continuously, barely perceptible. When utilized, it is never exhausted. So let's have a look at Dr. Wayne Dyer's translation of verse 6. He says, the spirit that never dies is called the mysterious feminine. Although she becomes the whole universe, her immaculate purity is never lost. Although she assumes countless forms, her true identity remains intact. The gateway to the mysterious female is called the root of creation. Listen to her voice. Hear it echo through creation. Without fail, she reveals her presence. Without fail, she brings us to our own perfection. Although it is invisible, it endures. It will never end. All right, we'll just look and see what Stephen Mitchell has to say, and then I'll pick which one I'm going to read from today, which translation. He says, the Tao is called the Great Mother. Empty yet inexhaustible, it gives birth to infinite worlds. It is always present within you. You can use it any way you want. So today I'm going to go with Dr. Wayne Dyer. He just has a little more words in his translation, which I think are going to be very, very helpful to us today. Now, it's interesting because Derek Lynn, let me just point at Derek for a moment. Derek started with the valley spirit, undying, is called the mystic female. And, you know, we just watched a video, those of us who are here in the sanctuary, we just watched a video where we saw little plants being born. So I don't know if that was, sorry, my voice wants to go out. One second, let's wait for it to come back. So I don't know for sure if my interpretation was colored by that little video where we saw these little plants being born. But as soon as I read from Derek's translation, the valley spirit undying is called the mystic female. You know, I just saw this really fertile valley in my mind. It's really fertile valley where things are being born. But what's really interesting is that I also saw receiving being an important part of that birth. You know, the female, you know, if we talk about sex for a moment, the female is the receiving part of the sexual experience, right? The female takes in the male part. She receives the sperm, you know, which makes its way to her egg. The egg receives the sperm. So the female is the receiving part of the sex act itself. So the female, I really think, represents receiving. And so what we have here is a fertile valley, the valley spirit undying, which of course gives birth. But before it can give birth, something needs to be received, right? The valley spirit undying is called the mystic female. So what immediately came into my mind as I read those words is the creative principle. Because the creative principle is it's a loop in effect. It's a loop. But what happens is the creative principle receives from us, from where we place our believing attention. And then because it has received from us, it gives birth to new manifestations. Those manifestations can be thoughts. Those manifestations can be emotions. Those manifestations can be circumstances in the world. So it's through the receiving that the birth occurs, right? If nothing was received, there would be no birth. And this is why we call it a loop. It's a receiving and then a birth, which results in more receiving, which results in more birth. So if we look over at Wayne Dyer's translation, he says, the spirit that never dies is called the mysterious feminine. Although she becomes the whole universe, her immaculate purity is never lost. Although she assumes countless forms, her true identity remains intact. Now, what's really interesting is when we say that she becomes the whole universe, we aren't just looking at the nice little plants. We aren't just looking at the flowers and the bees and the sunshine. We're looking at war. We're looking at violence. We're looking at hatred. We're looking at gossip, right? I mean, you know, if you really look at the whole universe, it has a lot of different appearances. You know, some of these appearances, the mind would say, are very positive and very good. And some of these appearances, the mind would say, are very negative, very bad. Some of the appearances, it would say, should be. Some of the appearances, it would say, should not be. But if we take away the mind's judgment, what we're really just talking about is a very innocent process. A process that has no judgment in it. You know, the process is very simply whatever we, being consciousness, whatever we give our believing attention to, is received by the creative principle, and it gives birth to more thoughts, more emotions, and more circumstances that come from that same energy. It's a very non-judgmental process. And in fact, what Wayne Dyer emphasizes is that Although she becomes the whole universe, her immaculate purity is never lost. So the creative process itself and consciousness itself is never touched by anything that's birthed out of it, by any appearance, right? It remains completely pure and untouched. Although she assumes countless forms, her true identity remains intact. So although it looks like violence and cruelty and lack and disease and frigid weather, you know, and anything else that it may look like, it's all still consciousness. So the first verse, both in Derek Lynn's translation and in Wayne Dyer's translation, just points to a very innocent process, the process of creation. And it also really emphasizes that this is a receiving process, right? It's a process that receives and then gives birth. Now, the next line in Wayne Dyer's is the gateway to the mysterious female is called the root of creation. And very similar in Derek Lynn's. He says the gateway of the mystic female is the root of heaven and earth. So I guess the question becomes, you know, what is this gateway? Right. And although I think we all know what the word gateway means, it's one of those times where I'm feeling prompted to look up gateway. So I'm going to. Okay. The definition of a gateway is an opening that can be closed by a gate. An opening that can be closed by a gate. It's also a means of access or entry to a place, and it's a means of achieving a state or condition. The gateway to the mysterious female is called the root of creation. So what I'm hearing in this, the fact that this opening can be closed by a gate, I think that's figurative here. I'll explain why that's important in a moment. And the fact that it's a means of access or entry and a means of achieving a state or condition. When I put all of these definitions together, what this is saying to me is that appearances do not need to be what they are. In other words, there's undoubtedly violence and hatred and, you know, even the weather can be violent, right? There's flooding, there's mudslides, there's earthquakes, there's fires. You know, there's so much violence in the world in a number of different ways, not just human violence. But what I'm hearing is that there's a gate here and that we do not need to let more hatred, more violence go through the gate and be received by the creative principle in order to create more of the same. And the gateway that can be open or closed, that can create these conditions or not create these conditions, that's our attention, or we could even call it our discernment. You know, so let's say you guys were all sitting there right now flipping me off, which I won't do because it's not appropriate in the same. I'll flip myself off with a different finger. You're all in there flipping me off. You know, you're full of crap, Regina, you know. I have a gateway here. And although you may be in your wrong mind attempting to offend me genuinely, you know, really, you're sick and tired of me. You wish I'd go away and you're attempting to offend me. So I'll just quit. I don't have to allow that into the gate. Right? I don't have to allow that into the gate. I don't have to allow that to create more conditions of the same. Disdain, rejection, judgment. So how do I not allow that into the gate? You know, if I really am the gateway, my attention, my consciousness is the gateway into the feminine valley that creates all appearances. The next line in the Wayne Dyer translation is, listen to her voice. Hear it echo through creation. Without fail, she reveals her presence. Without fail, she brings us to our own perfection. Although it is invisible, it endures. It will never end. That's the answer to the question, how do I not allow that negative energy in the gate? I focus on reality. I mean, if we really look at this verse in whole, what this verse is saying is that even, you know, you sitting there flipping me off is consciousness. You know, it's purity. That's what it always is, regardless of what it looks like. So if I focus my attention on consciousness, on purity, I don't allow that negative energy through the gate. It's not received again by the divine female, by consciousness, the creative principle. And nothing new has to be birthed from that energy. Now, it's funny because, you know, we just played that song, you know, you can do this hard thing. And it can seem very difficult to focus on truth, to focus on consciousness when people are attacking you. And of course, now I'm not talking about physical attacks with sticks or guns. That's even harder. I'm just talking about verbal attack right now. We'll start with the easier hard thing. So how can I remain focused on consciousness, focused on truth, so that I only allow that which is pure through this gateway to feed the divine feminine? Well, the answer is that I have to want the truth more than anything else. You know, here in the Awakening Together Sanctuary, we have etiquette. And thanks to our previous sanctuary director, Ken, you know, there was a lot of negativity in our sanctuary once upon a time. And Ken came in very firm-handed and got rid of all of it pretty quickly. And I think that's great because, you know, I really think it's great that all of you can come in here and share from your heart and be received, you know, with love. But that's not the environment I grew up in. I grew up in ACIM Gather, where anything was allowed. And when I came in sharing in the same way that you share now, when I came in sharing from, you know, what I had received that morning, I sometimes faced some pretty strong verbal attacks on the board in ACIM Gather, sometimes relentless. And in fact, at that time, we didn't have Facebook yet. We all were using Yahoo groups. And there was a group that we hung out on that Dove owned called The Peace of God. And boy, I experienced relentless, relentless, relentless attacks. You would not believe it on The Peace of God. I mean, I don't think I can even remember everything that everybody was saying. But, you know, back then it was perceived at that time in the Course in Miracles community that the only person that could hear inner wisdom was Helen Schuckman. And anybody else who believed they were hearing Holy Spirit was a fake. Therefore, she could only be after attention or money or, you know, something, right? She couldn't be genuine in heart. So there was a lot of attack. And so what I had the opportunity to do was to learn how to be that gateway. I had the opportunity to learn how to not take that energy as attack and have all of these negative thoughts about all of these people, therefore feeding all of that negative energy into the divine creative principle, birthing more of that. I remember, at least I think I remember, you know, I could forget things. It seems to me that the first time that this image came to me that was really helpful in being this gateway was the image of a pressure cooker. There was this pressure cooker in my mind with all of this negative energy in it. But the negative energy came from the whole world, not just from Regina, just this negative, negative energy. And the way I remember seeing that pressure cooker is when something negative came at me, like somebody saying something bad about me or bad about NTI, I had an opportunity. There was a little valve on the top of the pressure cooker. I had an opportunity to open that little valve and let some of that energy out so that there was less energy in the pressure cooker as a whole. It's kind of a gateway if you think about it. This was a gateway that released energy, slightly different symbol. But that symbol was so helpful to me. I can't even begin to tell you how often I used it. I mean, that's what I did. I used this little symbol in my mind. And at that time, you know, these attacks were coming at me multiple times a day. We're not talking about once every now and then. You know, if you were able to go back and look this stuff up, you'd be amazed. So what I would do is I would open these posts. You could even tell sometimes from the title of the post that, you know, when you open it, it's all going to be bad stuff about Regina or bad stuff about NTI. So out of fear, I could have avoided opening the posts, right? But what I would do is I would open the post. I would read the post. I would feel the emotions, but I would rest, accept, and trust with them. And I would literally imagine this little door opening in the top of my head and letting that negative energy out of the pressure cooker so that no one ever had to experience that particular piece of hatred, that particular piece of attack ever again. I imagined myself releasing it from, at that time, my language was very Course in Miracles. So I imagined myself releasing it from the entire sonship for the entire sonship. And I did this every day for months and months and months on end. I just read the attacks, sat back, closed my eyes, felt the emotions, and imagined myself releasing them from the sonship. And I think through that little simple practice, you know, I was not allowing that negative energy through the gateway to the divine feminine to be received and to birth more of the same, which is probably why eventually all of those attacks against Regina and NTI just died. You know, they weren't fed. I made it a rule to never, ever respond to any of them. It didn't matter if they were, you know, something that I would type a response to, you know, like a post on the peace of God, or whether it was something I could speak a response to, like somebody typing right there on the board in ACIM Gather, you know, F you, Regina, you're full of S-H-I-T. You know, I just never responded. I just went right on teaching. I just went right on teaching. And so it's kind of funny. I still am happy that we have sanctuary etiquette. And I would never, ever go back to where we didn't have sanctuary etiquette. But sometimes I think, wow, you guys are missing an opportunity. You You know, you're missing an opportunity to be attacked and to not respond. That was an incredible growth opportunity for me. But then I realized you're not missing that opportunity because I bet there are people who attack you anyway. Your parents, your spouse, your children, your neighbors, you know, whatever. Somebody somewhere is giving you that opportunity. Right? And in fact, that's why this is called a sanctuary. And in fact, our original sanctuary director did not manage the room according to the etiquette. And the reason was, and this is not, you know, completely wrong. It just wasn't what we had agreed to. And we always surrender to the team and awakening together. So if the trustees decide on etiquette, we all follow the etiquette. You know, that's the way we do things here. But her thought was, again, people needed the opportunity to see these attacks and not respond. And so by taking the attacks out of the sanctuary, it was a disservice. That was what she always argued. And in trying to help her see that that we needed the etiquette the way the trustees had decided, what I explained to her was that, you know, there's opportunities for attack out there all of the time. And this is the one place where you all should be able to come and kind of gather yourselves without being under attack. Because when you go back out there, the attack's going to greet you. And in fact, that's why we call it a sanctuary. It's a sanctuary from the world. So you can come here and kind of gather yourself, capital S self, right? And then go back out into the world and face it with the right mind, face it with purpose. But I think it's very valuable that what we're looking at today with the Tao Te Ching is the realization that the world is not going to be pure, and that you are the gateway that allows those impurities to be received by the divine principle so that more of those same types of negative appearances are manifest. And that you don't have to do that. You can close the gate. Right? Close the gate on the negative. Refocus on truth and open the gate and let that through. And in fact, I would go so far as to say that's our job. You know, A Course in Miracles uses the word forgiveness to describe exactly what we're talking about right now. This is what forgiveness is, right? Forgiveness is letting go of attention on the negative emotions, negative beliefs, negative appearances, placing attention on the truth so that only the truth passes through the gateway back into the divine principle. That's what forgiveness is. You know, and A Course in Miracles says things like, forgiveness is my only function, right? So our job, think about it, this is our job, is to realize that we are gateways. Everybody's a gateway, whether they know it or not. That's the funny thing, right? Because they're all consciousness, whether they don't know it or not. There are so few of us. You know, if you take the 7.5 billion people on the planet or however many there are so few of us that are aware that we're gateways, right? Our job is to be conscious gateways, to really contemplate, what do I want to allow through me back into the divine feminine, back into the creative principle? And when am I going to close the gate and say, no, I'm sorry, but you don't pass through this gate, right? I'm going to rest, accept, and trust until you die. And then I'll open the gate again. You don't get through this gate. So if we look at if we look at the sixth verse again, The spirit that never dies is called the mysterious feminine. Although she becomes the whole universe, her immaculate purity is never lost. Although she assumes countless forms, her true identity remains intact. So because that is true, because her immaculate purity is never lost, because her true identity remains intact, that means we can do this hard thing. Like if violence was violence, to see it as something else would be a lie, right? But that's not what it is. It's merely an appearance created through, I'm going to call it wrongly focused attention or mistakenly focused attention or ignorant focused attention, right? That fed into the creative principle and created an appearance, but it's still consciousness. So it's not a lie. I remember that's one of the tricks the ego played in my mind. Maybe you guys have seen it too. You know, the ego would say, you know, you can't just pretend like this isn't what it is. You can't just pretend like these people aren't attacking you because they are, you know. But see, that's not the truth. That's what's amazing about this. Think about that, guys. That's not the truth. That's the appearance. The truth is it's consciousness. In fact, I remember during this period of time when, you know, when spiritual teachers do things like this, at least for me, I don't know about you guys. It's one thing when a bunch of spiritual students attack me, you know, because they're just a bunch of bozos anyway, the mind says to some degree. But when the spiritual teacher attacks in the same way, that was a little harder for me to look at. The one who quote, should have known better, right? And some of you may have heard the story about a spiritual teacher who attacked me, called me a wannabe, said I just wanted to be, said I was making up all of the wisdom that came through me, making up all of the Holy Spirit that came through me because I wanted to be a famous spiritual teacher, which to this day I don't want to be. I want to crawl in a hole and be not noticed. But when he called me a wannabe, I temporarily felt attacked. But that morning, prior to this happening, I had received a message from Inner Wisdom. And in fact, it was my post of that message that, quote, led to the attack. It's kind of funny how it all happened. I had asked a question that morning without feeling attacked by anyone if attack was real. And I had received a message from Inner Wisdom that explained this process that we're looking at now to me. It explained the process about how, you know, attack energy received into the creative principle results in the appearance of attack, but it's not attack, it's consciousness. Only the word it used then, because I was more into A Course in Miracles language, was spirit, not consciousness. In fact, some of you might remember this. I was given a particular line to keep in mind, and that was, love is giving to spirit through spirit that which spirit requests. I typed that for you. Love is giving to spirit through spirit that which spirit requests, which means that my attention on the belief in attack, I'm spirit. My attention is consciousness. My attention on the belief in attack is received by the divine feminine creative principle, bursts little plants of attack that show up for me because my attention gave attention to attack, right? So I'm getting what I ask for. If I, you know, what most people don't understand is their attention is the asking mechanism, right? Their attention is the prayer. They don't know that. They don't know their gateways. By me giving attention on attack, I'm praying for attack and I receive appearances of attack. but it's actually love. It's giving me what I asked for. Love is giving to Spirit, through Spirit, that which Spirit requests. And again, that morning, I received that message. I posted that message in a Yahoo group. And then for whatever reason, I don't know if it triggered jealousy in the teacher or what, but for whatever reason, the teacher decides to respond to that by calling me a wannabe, by attacking me. And at first, I mean, it seems to me now like it was just a few seconds. At first, I saw this teacher attacking me in my mind's eye. But then it changed, and his face softened, and he was in a waiter uniform holding out a silver platter. And what I understood that he was offering me was the opportunity to not see it as attack, but to see it as love. Just to see it as the creative principle doing what the creative principle does. And when it showed up in my mind that way, with him in his waiter uniform holding out the silver platter, that is exactly how I saw it. I saw it as, oh my gosh, this is how this works. I give attention on attack, and attack shows up. You know, I give attention on unworthiness, and the experience of unworthiness shows up. I give attention on betrayal, and something that seems to betray, you know, betrayal shows up. If I just give my attention to truth, then one day all of those energies will be cleared out of my perception, because they all come from the past, right? One day they'll all pass through, they'll all be cleared out, and I will see and even be only truth. And that's what I think we are being told here through the sixth verse. The spirit that never dies is called the mysterious feminine. Although she becomes the whole universe, her immaculate purity is never lost. Although she assumes countless forms, her true identity remains intact. The gateway to the mysterious female is called the root of creation. That's us, right? That's consciousness. Listen to her voice. Hear it echo through creation. That's guidance on what to let through my gate. Without fail, she reveals her presence. I just have to look for her instead of the appearance. Without fail, she brings us to our own perfection. If I focus on only her, all of those energies from my past will be cleared away because I'm not letting them through my gateway again. And I'll come to the point where I see only truth and I be only truth, right? Without fail, she brings us to our own perfection. Although it is invisible, you know, I can't ever see this divine female. I see appearance. It endures. It will never end. And that kind of reminds me of how Stephen Mitchell ended his, although his translation again was the most different. Here's what he said. He said, the Tao is called the Great Mother, empty yet inexhaustible. It gives birth to infinite worlds. But then he said, it is always present within you. You can use it any way you want. You see, you are the gateway. You can use it any way you want. You have the power to let through that gateway what you choose. And in fact, one of the most important questions for me has always been, what do I want? You know, what do I want does something to me. Maybe because I'm aware of what I really want. You know, so let's say in this moment, what I think I want. See, I distinguish between what I think I want and what I really want. Let's say in this moment, y'all are sitting there flipping me off. And what I think I want is for you to stop it. What I think I want is for you to like my teaching, right? Well, that's what's going to cause me to say something to you, maybe to defend myself in some way, right? So if I notice that happening, then what I do is I ask, what do I really want? And when I ask what I really want, something has always happened in me. It's like I drop from what I think I want to what I really want, which is just truth, awakening, to see reality, you know, reality, right? And when I ask, what do I really want? That changes everything. It changes what I'm going to let through that gate. I'm now not going to play that game with you by defending myself and, you know, trying to get you to see me differently so that you'll like me. Instead, I'm just going to let you be. I'm going to practice rest, accept, and trust with anything in me that's being triggered. And I'm only going to let peace through that gate. Because all I want is peace, truth. Right? Peace and truth are the same thing. So when Stephen Mitchell says at the very end, it is always present within you, you can use it any way you want. What that says to me is we need to be really clear on what we want to let through that gateway. And remember that, you know, when the rubber hits the road, when the attacker shows up. Like there's something in TI that says something about not fearing your attacker, not trying to avoid your attacker. And this is why. Because when those attackers show up, and what they show up because, whether we believe it or not, we requested them. We focused on attacking energy. How many of you guys can honestly say you've lived your whole life and never once in your mind focused on an attacking energy? Yeah, not one of you. So you've all done it, which means you've all request attack, and that's why it shows up. You see, you let it through your gateway. It went to the divine feminine creative principle, and it grows as a little plant, and it comes back. So when it comes back, you just want to remember that's why it's here. I let it through my gateway before, but is this what I really want? If not, then I'm not going to let it through my gateway this time, right? You focus on what you really want, peace, love, joy, truth, and you only let that through your gateway. And eventually, all those old energies from the past just kind of fade away because you aren't letting them through your gateway anymore. And so that's why NTI says not to be afraid of your attacker or not to avoid your attacker. Because the truth is you did request that attack. And now you have the chance to do something different with it. Right? Now you have the chance to respond to it differently and therefore make a different request. And that's what the little silver tray was that this teacher was holding in my little vision of him. He was offering me the opportunity to accept the atonement for myself, to accept the correction. That's what atonement means. People love to say at-one-ment, which is really cute. But the truth is atonement means correction, right? I'm the one who requested attack. That's why the attack's here. Now it comes back so that I can correct that. Right? It's a correction. Oh, wait a minute. I don't want attack. I want truth. Okay, so I'll rest, accept, and trust through these feelings of attack. I won't let them through the gate. And once they're clear, I open the gate and I allow peace, love. Right? Consciousness, trust, right? So you don't want to avoid attack, you know, when your partner is mad at you or whatever. You're not going to try and avoid it. You're not going to try and defend yourself through it. You just rest, accept, and trust through it. Wait until those energies have cleared and then open your gate and allow the truth through. So you can use it any way you want. So it's just a matter of knowing what you want. So what does all this have to do with enlightened leadership? Well, I think it's kind of obvious, you know, stuff comes up when you're a leader, right? You know, it doesn't matter what kind of leader you are. But here again, you know, I always relate this back to the retreat house because I think that was related to the guidance. So, you know, stuff will come up with the other people that I work with at the retreat house. You know, someday Sean is going to do something. I don't know what. And I'm going to do something that's going to aggravate Shauna. You know, I mean, stuff's going to come up with the people at the retreat house. as well as the guests. Oh my goodness, the guests. You wouldn't believe all the stuff the guests bring with them. And so with all that stuff, we have a choice. What are we going to allow through our gateway? You know, another way people often say this is how do I respond, right? I'm only responsible for how I respond. And this is what we want to think about in advance as leaders. You know, we want to prepare ourselves by knowing what we want, by realizing that we are gateways, and by committing deeply within that whatever comes up, we're only going to allow the truth through our gateway. We're only going to allow peace through our gateway, patience through our gateway, trust through our gateway. You know, all of these things are just different words that really kind of are pointing to the same thing. And I don't really have anything else to say. Okay, here's a song. It might be just music, which might be really good for us for contemplation. But it reminds us of what we want to let through the gateway, which is only truth. It's called My Immortal, right? Only the immortal truth do we want to allow through the gateway. So lesson number six. I am a gateway. Right? That's our lesson. That's what we're to remember as enlightened leaders, right? I am a gateway. And I need to respond as a gateway to whatever arises. There's just no exceptions. I'm always, always, always a gateway. Right? I remember when Jesus was asked why he was, quote, working on Sunday. He said, because my Father is always working, right? This creative principle is always, always working. It doesn't stop. Right? So I'm always a gateway, not in some circumstances, but in all circumstances. Again, Derek says, the valley spirit, undying, right? It's always the valley spirit. The valley spirit, undying, is called the mystic female. The gateway of the mystic female, that's us, is called the root of heaven and earth. It flows continuously, barely perceptible, which is why we consciously want to remember that we're gateways. When utilized, it is never exhausted. Right? My Father is always working. So that's the title today. Lesson number six, I am a gateway. And I just want to let you guys know that tonight I'm going to be traveling. So I won't be able to physically be here for I Am That. However, I didn't want to miss another I Am That teaching. So I actually taught an I Am That teaching to myself this morning around 9 a.m. And I recorded it and I sent it to Don. Did you get that, Don? No? Oh, well, check. Yeah, check email. I sent you a new audio. It was just recorded this morning. So tonight, even though I won't be here, it's not going to be a repeat teaching. It's a new teaching. And Don, if you didn't get it, let me know and I'll resend it. Okay? All right. So I'm going to let go. And it's been nice being with y'all. Bye.